Ah, the Audible is on the air. AC in the AM, Andy Cohen with me. I'm Kim Bocamper. I don't know about you, Andy, but it's been a dark week in Dolphin Land as far as I'm concerned.
I want you to start scheduling me after wins, Kim. Not only after losses.
Yeah, man, this has been, boy, I tell you, it's a tough one to swallow. And it's been 3 weeks in a row where my weeks have just been crapola after these games. You know, it's funny. I was talking to another former player today, and he says, you know what, I don't play. I don't get hurt. I don't, you know, but when they lose on a Monday and for the rest of the week, my week's miserable. And it's the same for me.
I feel bad for Dolphin fans out there.
No,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. And the hardest thing is to search for answers.
Yeah.
Is to try to understand in your mind why this group of players played so poorly at Carolina, why they played so poorly at Baltimore. Why they lost at home to the Raiders. You know, searching for answers, searching for cures, searching for reasons, that's the challenge right now.
Yeah, and the thing that makes it hard, Andy, I think it makes it hard for fans. It certainly makes it hard for guys like you and I that cover this team. I'm sure it's hard for the coaches because, you know, it's easy if you can put your finger on one thing, you know, or it's this guy or that guy, or we're not doing this. But there's a multitude of things that seem to go wrong in these games. And it's, you know, it may be one guy that does one thing wrong in a game, but usually when they do something wrong, it's a big wrong. It stabs you in the heart. It's a big play. It's giving up a big play. It's getting a big play called back. It's all those kind of things that are going on with this football team. And I still look at this roster, Andy, and I go, you know, there are a lot of good football players on this team. And there's a lot of good, solid guys on this football team that work hard, that do the right thing, that stay after practice, that get the extra work in, that do all the things you're supposed to do. And I think they're as frustrated as anybody else about where they're at and more in particular, how they're playing. Because you go back to some of their wins and, you know, they scraped those wins out and they didn't play all that well in some of the wins that they've gotten. So it's really a very, very trying and difficult thing to try to, you know, put into space what the hell's going on.
And
man,
we're the experts, Kim.
Supposedly,
we're the ones who're supposed to have the answers. And you know, the defense really baffles me. I knew Carolina would test the Dolphin defense.
But not to that degree.
But not for 240 yards on the ground, 500 yards overall, five straight possessions of touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know, to quote Cam Wake, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
And I think the players realize this is a huge week coming up, Kim, and I think it's important we put this loss in the rearview mirror, as I hope the players and coaches do.
Yeah.
But they've got Tampa Bay. They're at home. You know, if they can win, if they can beat Tampa Bay, and all indications are is that it's going to be a close game because all the games they've won have been 6 points or less. You know, they're sitting at 5-5, and it's a crazy conference, and there are no great teams out there, and you know, they'll at least breathe some life heading into New England. That's why it's hard to frame Sunday's game without using significantly important.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you just feel like you're on a ship that's sprung so many leaks that you're trying to figure out how to plug them all, and you think you're getting into shallow waters this week a little bit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they're still a good football team. They're still an NFL team, and I know they don't have Jameis Winston going to play this week, and all indications would say that the Dolphins should come out and be able to beat this football team, but they've got to clean up their house. They've got to figure out some way to do it, and I know as a player that's been in a predicament where you've really played a bad game or a couple of bad games, you can put those behind you and move forward, but I don't think I've ever been on a team where there have been different multiples of this guy didn't play good in this play, that guy didn't play good, that was a bad decision, this was a bad decision, and it's just kind of across the board. And you know, which hole do you stick your finger in to slow it down?
Yeah, to me, this game Sunday isn't about the Bucs as much as it is about the Dolphins.
No, absolutely,
it's about this team needing to look in the mirror and say, who are we? What are we?
Yeah,
and how can we make the most of what appears to be a talented roster. Yeah. Yeah, there are holes on this team. There are some areas of concern. But if I went down every one of the 22 starters, you know, I've got a comfort zone with a lot of these players, and a lot of these players have shown that they can do it. Now they just need to continue to do it, and now they need to do it again and again and prove that.
Hold on. Come on over here now.
Breaking news?
Come on, Trey. Let's give me some breaking news. Get over here, Trey. Get in the middle here. Why don't you give us the injury report here today? Since you crawl in here on your belly like a reptile to bring it to me, why don't you go ahead and...
I'm just going to let you know
Let me see your face a little bit.
So far
Because I keep getting girls to text me, ask me what Stray look like.
Nobody on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hurt.
So no one... All right. Dolphins, Jermon Bushrod. I'm going to give you the guy. William Hayes didn't practice. He took a shot in the game. Sonoris Perry didn't practice. Ndamukong Suh didn't practice. Michael Thomas was limited. Jarvis Landry was limited. And Bobby McCain was limited.
We're all limited,
Michael Rashad Jones. Yeah, we're all limited. So that's where it is. We haven't got the report on the Tampa Bay Bucks. But, you know, when Trey crawls in here on his belly, you got to give him a little airtime, right?
Know, I thought the stock market crashed or something.
All right, so yeah, it is what it is. The Dolphins are over there, and you know, if you want to look for a silver lining, you know, they're 4-5, and they're still in the hunt.
That's the silver lining, is that they can be 5-5 after this weekend, with 6 games left. Arguably, maybe the toughest stretch of 6 games in their season. But you know, if they show up at 4-6, it looks a lot different than if they show up at 5-5.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there really needs to be an urgency this week. Yeah. There needs to be a commitment by this entire team to get this right and get this right in a hurry.
But I think you're right, Andy. I think you hit the nail on the head with these guys. Is they've just got to figure out. Look, they're going to game plan against Tampa Bay. They're going to look at tapes against Tampa about Tampa Bay. They're going to do all those things that they need to do. But you could throw all that stuff in the books. It's about each guy trying to figure out, how can I play the best football I can play and compliment the guy that's standing next to me. It's got to be about themselves more so than anybody. And I think from now going forward, look, you know New England. You know what they're going to do. You've played them enough. You know what to expect from them. You got to get it out of yourself. They got to dig it out somehow from inside themselves and get them playing at the level that they should be playing. And look, we've been talking about it really all season long because we haven't seen a full football game from these guys. And here we are again.
Two guys on offense, Kim, that I want to see more of and more big plays from. Kenyon Drake's one of them. Now, 2 games ago he went 42. Last game he went 66. Yep. I'd like to see him carry the ball a little bit more frequently. Yep. I'd like to see maybe the focus of this offense turn to him a little bit more. We've seen the upside. We've seen what he can do with some holes. Well, I'd like to see more of him as an every down player. The other guy is Devontae Parker.
Yep.
He's healthy now. We've written 100 times about the wonderful offseason, the great training camp, the upside potential. He's healthy now. It's time to get the big play back in this offense, whether it's Kenyon Drake running the ball, Devontae Parker catching the ball. I'd like to see the focus continue and increase on both of those players to see perhaps if they can be more the identity of this offense.
And look, look, Kenny Stills last year was a guy that gave you a lot of big plays, a lot of touchdowns, and we're just not seeing it out of him. And look, I'm not pointing a finger at him, but it's a part of everybody. In order to throw the ball downfield, Jay Cutler has to have time to throw the football. When Jay has time to throw the football, he's got to put the ball on the money. He can't have a guy. He can't overthrow a guy, underthrow a guy, and do that. So it's not all on the receiver.
No.
But Kenny's got to be more of a big part of this offense. You're absolutely right. Devontae Parker. Your Jarvis is Jarvis. Jarvis is that underneath guy.
He's leading the league in receptions.
He's not going to be your guy that's going to you know, he's going to get most of his yards in yards after catch, because most of the balls are going to be in that short to intermediate range. It's the other guys you want to see downfield making those big plays that quite frankly were made last year that helped this football team get to 10 wins and get into the postseason. And that has almost completely been taken out of this offense this year.
Yeah, I think You know, if they can get those two players, Drake and Parker, and they can mix them in,
yep.
You know, with Jarvis and Kenny and, you know, some of the other things they have, develop some continuity, try to put together some drives. You know, another thing that's boggling about this team, they've trailed at halftime eight of nine games. I want to see what this team looks like with the lead.
I want to see
how this defense plays with the lead.
Yep.
I want to see the pass rush put their heads back
yep.
and be able to focus on a quarterback who they know is yep. going to throw the ball.
Yep.
These are things I want to see. This defense becomes much better, I believe, if this offense gives them a lead.
Yep.
Cam Wake had 6 sacks in the first 6 games, hasn't had any in the last 3.
Yep.
You know, I want to see that change. I want to see the yep. defense become a little bit more aggressive and feed off of what the offense does. The troubling thing about this team, as you alluded to earlier, is it's both sides of the ball. If it's just one side, yep. then at least the poor side can feed off the good side yeah. a little bit more and try to get that strength.
And we had
from
a little bit of that early in the season where the defense was playing very good football. And I'll tell you, the defense, albeit this last week, have been playing pretty well against the run. You go back to the Raider game, I mean, they couldn't run the football, but you had them in third and long in a number of situations, and they convert third and long. The first series of downs against Carolina, it was the first or second series down. They stop them, get them in a third, I think it was like a 3rd-and-12 situation. Then I think they throw a little swing pass to McCaffrey, who should have been stopped for about a 4-yard gain. He goes 13 yards first down. They continue to move down the field. Those are the types of things they're getting defensively at times. They're getting the team in places where you want to get them in, third and long, tough situations. But more times than not, especially in the last 2 weeks, they've converted in those third downs. And not only does that break the spirit of a defense when you do that, it moves the chains and gives them more opportunity. But they got to get back to playing the run defense. And I know Cam Newton is a different guy, but that doesn't mean that Jonathan Stewart rushed for 130 yards or whatever the heck he ran for. I was thinking about him. He was an old guy running the backfield. The guy you figured the guy was going to give you the biggest yards was going to be Cam Newton.
Right.
But you get Jonathan Stewart, you know, coming up with the bigger. But Cam certainly came up with the big plays.
And I'll tell you, Kim, how one thing feeds off of another. You stop the run, you force them into passing situations.
Yep.
The Dolphins have 3 interceptions
yep.
all year.
Yep.
2 of them are by Rashad Jones.
Yep.
The other one by Bobby McCain.
Yep.
Their starting corners don't have a pick
yep.
yet. You know, a lot of that is stopping the run, put the other team into force passing situations. Then you got the pass rush. Then you got the ability to force some errant throws
yeah.
and get those interceptions. But right now, the game-changing plays aren't happening
yeah.
on defense, largely because they're not winning first down. They're
yeah.
not winning second down. They're not putting them in a position often enough to succeed.
Yep.
Does that make any sense?
It does. It does. Kimbo Camp, Randy Cohen with you. AC in the AM. You can catch it at 6 a.m. Monday through Friday on Dolphins.com. Check it out. Always got good stuff there. Let's get some questions on here. Koleska 80 from Periscope. Hey, Bo, would it help the defense if Matt Burke went upstairs to the booth to call the game? Well, you know what? He's been down on the sideline the whole season, and for the most part, they've been a pretty good defense. I don't think that him being up in the booth is going to make difference. Look, if he's up in the booth and a guy misses a tackle, or if he's on the sideline and a guy misses a tackle, what difference does that make? I don't think this is a scheme situation defensively. I think it's just guys not making plays when plays present themselves to be made.
Yeah. Kim, this is an interesting question. How important is face-to-face coach-player interaction
yeah.
during a game? Was it important when you played?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and that's something you lose
yeah.
when the coach is up in the booth.
And look, if you're a coordinator, I know that, you know, if you're a coordinator, it's different if your coordinator's up in the booth, someone else comes up to you and delivers a message. It's not the same impact.
Right. Coach says, do this.
Yeah, it's not the same impact when that guy is staring you in the face and saying, this is what you need to do. And, you know, and I saw Matt Burke on the sideline in that game. You know, usually he's a pretty cool, calm, collected guy.
He was not.
He was livid down there for a while, trying to get guys going, certainly letting them know without any uncertainty what he expected out of
him. How would you like to have been the one to tell Don Shula, coach, you need to coach in the booth
no.
from now on?
Well,
don't think he would have accepted that
no,
one.
No, no. Facebook, Bo, at what point will you throw Gase and Cutler under the bus? I'm not a big throw guys under the bus guy. You know, fans can do that. People that, you know, that think they know everything that's going on can go ahead and do that. But I would say this, I wouldn't throw either one of those guys under the bus until the day I see him stop working hard. Because look, the one thing you look at these guys, the one thing I can tell you, these guys are working hard. These guys put the effort in, and I'm talking all. I couldn't say everybody in that roster, but top to bottom in that roster, I would say the vast majority of those guys are putting in extra time, doing everything they need to do. They're committed to what they're doing, and as long as guys are there, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
Yeah, I think fans.
You show me a guy that's loafing, that's not playing, I'll throw his ass under the bus in a minute.
I think fans have a tendency to turn a little bit too quickly. I'm not telling fans they don't have the right to turn.
Yep.
They do have the right to turn. But for someone like Adam Gase, they were 10-6 last year. You know, this is a guy that Peyton Manning called the smartest person in football that he knows. You know, I believe that Adam Gase is the solution, not the problem. But we need to see how this plays out. We need to see, you know, how he deals with the situation, how these players deal with the situation, and judge a person over a large body of work. Don't judge them over an emotional reaction because of three straight losses. Yes, it's frustrating. Yes, everybody's looking for scapegoats. But the answer isn't always as easy as the head coach and the quarterback.
No, it's not. And look, it's you can't heave everybody over the side of the ship in midstream either and start over again.
Then the ship sinks.
Yeah. Right. Then, Cutler, look, Jay does some good things. Sometimes he doesn't do. Jay, as long as he's stepping forward to me, I'm pretty optimistic when he throws the ball. It's going to work out.
Right, and when he's off his back foot.
When he's kind of leaning back and when he's not stepping into it, then anything is kind of up for grabs at that point. But look, that's his game. That's the way he's played all his career. And so, you know, and look, the flip side is, you know, for all the celebration and all the joy when Matt Moore came in and led the Dolphins to a win when Jay Cutler got hurt, that all went down the tubes pretty quick. I haven't heard anybody in the last three weeks.
No, I haven't seen any of those texts.
Calling for Matt Moore to come back in and take over the spot. So, you know, you've got who you've got in this league, and, you know, it 8-9 games into the season. Not a whole lot of people you can run out there and get off the street and come back and help turn you into a playoff football team.
Right, and right now there are 7-2 teams in the AFC, and everybody else is in a logjam, and everybody has flaws.
Yeah.
It's which teams over these last seven games can deal with their flaws, overcome their flaws, and turn them into positives, and that's going to be the difference.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if there was a bunch of teams out there with one loss, two losses.
Right.
But you look at the pack in the middle, and there's those two. There's the Patriots, there's the Eagles, there's those teams out there, but everyone else is kind of in that, they're mired in that, in that mediocrity of the middle of the pack. So it's not like a ton of people are running away with this thing. Black man game, should we give Clyde play calling duties? Maybe coach's plate is too full. Well, Adam Gase was asked after the game in the post game locker room, do you think it's time for you to give up play calling duties? And he said, no.
That's what I enjoy most, he said.
Yes, no. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think the issue is play calling.
No.
I think every game Adam Gase second guesses himself, and he has yet to call a perfect game, and he'll be the first to tell you that. But that's why he was hired, and that's what he does so well. And to even entertain the thought, you know, Clyde Christensen took this job knowing that he wasn't going to call plays, but having the respect of Adam Gase to know that he could be at his side and offer him the assistance that he needs. That's the least of my concerns right now, Adam Gase's play calling.
Yeah, and look, this organization, we've been through it for, Andy, I don't know how many years it's been since Coach Shula, where guy comes in, you give him 2 years, and then you want to throw him over the bus, get him out of here, and you never give anybody a time to build their foundation, set their foundation, and then build the rest of the house after you do it. Get him out of here, and all we've done is take one step forward, three steps back. One step forward, three steps back. That's why we're in the situation we're in right now. I do believe there are a couple coaches along the way here that if you had given them a little time and let them, you know, because every guy comes in wants to change the team, including Adam Gase, into the type of team he wants to coach. And sometimes that takes 3-4 years to get that done. But in this town, after 2 years, you don't get it done, get out of here, and then you got to start all over again. From draft choices to, now we want a big, strong team instead of a lighter, quicker team. Now you got to do all that. And by that time, then you get rid of that guy, and you're back in the same boat again.
Are you saying they should have given Jersey Joe Philbin more time?
No.
I just want to clarify
no,
that.
No, no. And Cam Cameron's out of that mix too. And when you come to that,
he was a one and done in your mind too. Okay.
I would rather give Dan Campbell more time than either one of those two guys more time.
Right.
But no, look, I Jay Cutler, Adam Gase, no. And the play calling, no. I think he's the right guy. Look, he's just got, to me, all this, I don't think it comes down to effort, Andy. To me, it just comes down to execution. And I know that people don't want to hear that, but it's what the game's all about.
And it's remarkable if they execute how much better the play calls will look.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. let's go to Duke Dennis from Periscope. Hey, Bo, Julius Thomas has found the end zone two straight weeks. Think he's progressing? No, I don't. I thought he ran a couple bad routes. I thought the interception at the end of the half was a poorly run route. I think the ball was a little underthrown, but I think he runs a better route. That ball probably doesn't get picked off. I think they ran the fade route to him in the end zone, and I thought he ran a lazy route there. He's playing against a guy that's about half as tall as him, and he gets pushed around by that guy. No, I need to see more out of Julius Thomas. Good guy.
I did too. And I love the player he was, yep. Kim. I just want to see if he can become that player again.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a guy that's certainly in the sunset of his career. And maybe probably going to be one of those one-year guys that you get, but you'd certainly like to see more. And if we're not going to see more out of him, then let's see more Marquise Gray, you know? Let's get the ball to Anthony Fasano more. Let's use those guys, utilize those guys, and do some of that with them. But, no, I don't think he's progressing. I think he's pretty much on a – I think his game has been pretty consistent throughout this season.
Put a young playmaking tight end on your shopping list.
No doubt about it. I forget. I was talking to somebody, and they go, hey, who are those big 6'6", 245-pound tight ends that are coming out of the draft that have been coming out every year? I guess you look at Stanford. Stanford's like putting every tight end they throw in this league can play and play pretty well for them. Jacob Michaels, Facebook, do they need to consider rebuilding this team from scratch?
Boy, that's a long way to rebuild.
That's a long. I mean, well, I don't know what you mean by scratch. You mean empty the coffers and start over again? No, look, there are some things that need to be resolved on this football team. I think finding a way to solidify this offensive line is paramount for this football team.
Yeah, there's a lot of good young players on this team. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't put a match to this team.
No.
There's a lot of potential. Yeah. Does a thorough evaluation of every player and every spot need to take place? It always takes place during the offseason. But we've seen this team make the playoffs last year, and many of those guys are still on the roster. I want to see how this plays through before I'm ready to, to cry a dire situation.
Yeah.
This team's 4-5. It needs to win this week. Let's evaluate it at that time.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Facebook, Christopher Dunkley. Andy, did you notice on Cam Newton's long run that Cam Wake was responsible for contain? He crashed down and abandoned his assignment. You know, for some reason, when I think of that play, I think of Cam Newton going right up the gut.
I see him going, and I see those long strides, and wow, what an athlete he is.
Yeah, I don't know how you can lose contain when the quarterback runs right between the two tackles. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was more the middle of defense than the outside of the defense.
And I think there were some runs he had where, look, he's running an option. He's got the ball in the back's belly, and he's reading that end. And if that end comes down, then he's gonna pull the ball and go around. And I know the Dolphins were using when they ran the option, the Dolphins were using linebackers. Kiko in particular, to zero in on Cam when he and look, they were going to hit him whether he ran the ball or didn't run the ball. But
he's just such a tough matchup.
That guy's huge. You know, I'm standing there before the game, and I've seen him a couple times. Last year we were up, or 2 years ago was it? We were up in Carolina with them for 3 or 4 days. The year they went to the Super Bowl, and that's the first time I'd really been close to Cam Newton. And I thought, man, that's for a quarterback. That's a big dude right there.
Him and Julius Jones might be the same size.
I mean, no doubt.
They're
Cam's my size.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam is literally basically my size.
Not your speed, but your size.
No, he doesn't have the speed I have, but,
Right. let's just be nice and say he doesn't have the game you have.
There you go. I don't. If you're talking about the one where he went 60, after we went 66, then he came back and went 68 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think that was right up the middle. I don't think that was a Cam Wake situation. Now, he had some ball somewhere he bounced out that maybe Cam closed on, and he bounced out, but I don't remember it being that one. Tom Street, Facebook, without Ryan Tannehill, this is a lost season for Wake and Jones. Look, if this season continues to go the way it's running, it's a lost season for everybody, Adam Gase to,
Wake and
to
Jones.
Everybody else. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why those guys, but the other thing I would question, Andy, is for everybody in the last since Ryan Tannehill has gotten here that have been anti-Tannehill guys.
You don't hear those anymore.
Well, no, and it makes you wonder, you know, when you go back to last year, how important was Ryan Tannehill to the success of this football team?
It was huge.
You know, and I think you have to look at it and say it was big. Because one thing about Ryan, Ryan's a conservative at his heart, at his base, he's a conservative quarterback. He's grown into the ability to throw the ball down the field. He gave you plenty of big plays last year. They've added his running to the arsenal of what he does. He understands this offense. He ran this offense well last year. And really, before he got hurt, quarterback wasn't an issue on this football team with Ryan Tannehill. So I think when you look at this team and where this team's at and the lack of productivity offensively, then you can point to Ryan Tannehill and say, hey, you know what? If he was here, we'd be in a different place.
Yeah, he adds a totally different dimension to the offense, a running dimension. I can tell you, Kim, that there haven't been a lot of things that have made me smile over the last few weeks, but being in the locker room last week and seeing Ryan Tannehill walk around without the slightest trace of a limp made me feel awfully good.
Yeah.
And usually, or often, you'll see guys after surgery still showing the wear and tear of it several months after. And the fact that he is rehabbing so well offers a lot of promise for the future.
Let me do this. Make no mistake. This football team right now is quarterbacked by Jay Cutler. But this is still Ryan Tannehill's team.
I agree.
And he's going to be his team.
And I think Adam Gase will tell you that,
No doubt about it. When he comes back next year, my only concern with Ryan is how long is he going to be – how long until he's game ready? You know, is he going to be game ready week one? Is it going to take him to week four of this regular season? You know, I know I'm with you. I see him before the game. He's always out there throwing balls.
He is.
Always on the field, always throwing balls, always keeping at it, always standing on the sideline. So things look good for him. But, you know, that's an inside the knee thing that to get that thing healed up and ready to play at the level you need to play. So hopefully he's ready by week one. That's my only concern right now about Ryan Tannehill. Is when. I know he'll be ready. It's just a matter of if you can have him ready for opening day. That's the big question.
Right, and ready and not to the point where he's fearing his knee and can really let loose.
Yeah. Hollywood 80, Periscope, why can't we run screens? Well, for the most part, we run that one-man screen to the wide receiver that's always good for a negative one or negative 2 yards. I'd just soon throw that out of the playbook. Although I saw Carolina run it. They ran two men out, ran the screen. A guy went for about 30 yards on it, 25 yards. I forget who it was.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, screens. I've long asked that question, and this hasn't been the Bills used to run the screen to Thurman Thomas.
I think they just ran another screen with Thurman Thomas.
There he
just
goes.
Just now, yeah.
I've long wondered why the screen, through various coaches, wasn't more a part of the Dolphin offense. And I've really never gotten the answers other than it's in the playbook. We just don't call it as much as other teams. Maybe it has something to do with the offensive line. But Mike Pouncey, when he's healthy,
he's out,
moves real well. And you figure he could lead a screen. And Tunsil would be a pretty good pulling tackle. Yep. So, it's a valid question.
Yeah. Brent Stratton. Where's Andre Branch and Charles Harris? They have only 4 sacks combined. We need some pass rush. Well, Branch usually comes out, I think, on a lot of pass rushing situations, and Charles Harris comes in that situation. Every now and then they'll kick Branch down inside, but for the most part, he's not in that many pass rush situations. Charles Harris has been. He's gotten close, but I think everyone would like to see a little more production out of him.
It comes down, once again, Kim, to this team does not play with the lead.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get the lead. When you trail at halftime in 8 of your 9 games, it doesn't give the defense a chance to tee off. And that's clearly
As long as they've got a run pass option, it makes it very tough to put pressure on a quarterback, to come down with sacks. You can pressure a quarterback. It's tough to come down to sacks when they've got play action and they've run the ball and they can put you in that situation where do I have to respect the run before I go to my pass rush, or can I just put my put my ears back and go?
I want to start judging this defense with a 17-0 halftime lead and then see what they do in the second half. Yep. That's the way to judge these pass rushers.
Facebook, Jeffrey. Bo, can Kenyon Drake carry the load at running back, much like Lamar Miller did? Andy and I were talking about this before the show. I like Kenyon Drake. He just gave you a 66-yard run. He gave you a 34-yard run the week before. He's certainly got the ability to break the big run for you. I think he just needs more carry, and I think the more carries he gets, the more comfortable he's going to become with running in this league and what he's facing. I like Kenyon Drake. I'd like to see him get a little bit more carries and see, you know, because I think you give him more carries. I think he's a guy that can. He may not break a run every series, but he's probably going to break one or two at least for you if you give him multiple carries in a game.
Right. I mean, if you gain 10 yards on your first five carries and you go 71 on your next, you've got a great yards per carry average.
Yep.
And really, that's what he did last week. You know, I think he needs to continue to earn the trust of the coaches. Yep. The fumble 2 weeks ago against the Raiders was a negative play. It was a momentum-changing play. And I think he needs to show that he's not a fumbler and that he's not going to make mistakes in situations like that. And as he continues to show that, I think the coaches will have more and more confidence in him.
At A. Oliver 714, what's wrong with this team, Bo? You know, I've been asked over the last three weeks, I've been asked that multitudes of time, and if I could tell you, if I could put my finger on that, I got 10 fingers. I may need twice or three times as many to come up with a
solution. It'd be so easy if it was just one or two things.
Much would be very easy, yeah.
We could pinpoint it. We could tell you what they need. Yep. We could tell you how they need to achieve it.
Yep.
But that's the frustration, is that it's a different thing every week, and some weeks it's everything.
Yeah. Brent Stratton, Baker Mayfield in the draft. A little premature for that. I'm going to finish this one up with Facebook from Palmer. Hey, Bo, if aliens wanted to probe someone for the Audible, are you donating Leon or Trey?
Good question. Yeah.
All depends where you're going to probe them at, you know? If you're going to probe them where what usually first pops into my mind, I would say Leon first.
And then... It's good to smile, Bo. It's good to
gotta
smile.
Have it.
You got to smile.
Look at Trey back there with it. Trey with his thumb up there speaking of probing Leon. I don't know what that's all about, but what?
This is a family show, Kim. Come on.
I'm keeping it within the parameters of the guideline. Wrap it up. Wrap it up, Leon. Once you start talking about Leon,
want to talk about a victory.
Usually Leon's sitting there with his head in his phone, looking up. I think he's on Tinder or something, looking up for one of someone. He's swiping left and swiping right, or doing whatever he's doing. Once you bring up his name or Trey, then he goes, "I'll have to wrap up the show." I need to bring it up in the first 5 minutes. The show will only be on for 7 minutes, then we'll be off the air. All right, it was a hard show to do today, man. This week is. Man, I tell you what, you talk about moping around. I've been moping around for the last 2 days, and I was moping around all week last week.
Stop moping around.
Moping around
Come
the
on.
Week before that.
Come on, there's a
I
game
I want to smile.
Sunday.
I want to be happy.
Get your game face on.
I want to be happy. Monday they win, I'll be happy.
We'll
I'll
be
smile
happy
on my
Monday.
Face. Andy, always a pleasure, my friend.
Kim.
AM, AC in the AM, 6 o'clock AM every morning, Monday through Friday, Dolphins.com. Check it out. We'll be back on, what day is this, Wednesday? We'll
Today's
be back
Wednesday.
On Friday a little bit later on, so later on Friday. So anyway, join us back then, and hopefully I'm feeling a little better. Hopefully I got a smile on my face when we get back for that one. We'll see you then.